In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The theme of this week is how to answer the question that the Lord Jesus himself posed to every one of us from the book of Mark in chapter 8, verse 29, and the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 20, and the book of Matthew, chapter 16, and verses 15 and 16, and the question was, who do you say that I am? And if you remember, yesterday we had four questions. The first question was, what is God calling you to do? What are you doing to welcome the Lord Jesus? Is your life a praise of God? And if you believe that He is Lord, are you praising Him? And the fourth question was, are you ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that you have in Jesus as Lord? Today I would like to add four more questions that you will think about and contemplate during this week, and hopefully get to know who is Jesus. And as I mentioned before, I find it very difficult for me to say the word Jesus by itself or the word Christ by itself, because I always believe that He is my Lord, my God, and my Savior, Jesus Christ. But during the discussion, we pose the question as a question for everybody, thinking about who is that Jesus or who is the Christ. We talked yesterday about His personality. Today I want to talk about His house. So the first question is, if Jesus is Lord, do you believe that His house is a house of prayer? When the Lord went to the temple and He started to move the people out, like the money changers, like the sellers, like the merchants, He quoted Isaiah 56:7, and He said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples, for all nations, for everybody." So think about this for a minute and imagine yourself try to worship and pray, and you can hear the cash registers around you, the squabbling of the salesmen and their patrons, or the bleating of the sheep and the sound of the doves. How would you feel if you are in a house like this and you call it the house of worship? As you know, the Jewish temple had a setup where the Gentiles were only allowed in certain areas. Then the Jewish women could go a little further, men a little further, and then the inner areas were for only the priest. So the merchants used to set up their shops in the court of the Gentiles. Gentiles couldn't go no further, and they were forced to worship and pray with all the commotion that's going on. You find it very difficult if you find yourself in a house that is only busy with selling and buying for personal profit, not for a service for the church, of course. It is very hard to pray when you find many of the noise and the stuff is going on, because prayer should never be interrupted, because you have a continuous link between you and God. And as I mentioned many times before, prayer, as we call it in Arabic, Salah, comes from the word Sila, connection, a link between you and God. If you have a link, that link should not be interrupted. You should not have any cutting points on the way. Remember what God said in the book of Matthew in chapter 6 in verse 6. "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So when you pray, do you really feel that link, the private, honest, and direct link with God? As you know, we have lots of communal worship, like in the church. We have also our personal private worship, where you pray at your own house, in your car, at bed, anywhere you go, even at work, where you always lift up your heart speaking to God, like the Arab prayer, for example, "My Lord Jesus Christ, help me a sinner. My Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me a sinner," where you show God that you believe in Him, that He is your Lord and your God, and you humble yourself when you say that you are a sinner, And then you make a little request like, help me, have mercy on me, give me wisdom, tell me what to do on this issue or that, and you can keep communicating with God. When you come to church, you have that same feeling that you are standing before Him, and He is your Lord, and He is your God, and His house is the house of prayer that deserves all holiness and righteousness. Even the psalmist said in Psalm 93 in verse 5, holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. So the question is, if you believe when you come to church that this is the house of prayer, do you really consider this house to be the house of holiness because the Lord abides in it? Or are you coming on a social feeling and gathering and meaning to meet with your friends and family? Because we are Copts, nobody else, we can talk to of the same language and same culture, so the church will be the place where we come and sit and together and meet. I don't mean that we will not have that feeling, we would, but our main objective, we have to set our priorities straight. God is number one. God is even before family, before work, before anything. Everything else will come afterward. God said that, and He taught us that, not Abuna Ya'ub. God said, ask first for the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these will be added to you. Anything else you will ask for will come to you, but priority must be set up straight. Number one is God. The second question is, if Jesus is Lord, do you want to become one of His people, truthful and faithful people, not social people? As we heard, and I just mentioned it now, in Isaiah 56:7, where God said, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all people. It was not limited to just the Jewish people. It was not enough that the other parts of the temple were quiet for prayer. God wants all people. God's house is not just for God's perfect creation. As I mentioned yesterday, God does not ask for perfection. He asks for people who are trying and working hard. And that's why I gave you the example last night that God will not ask you, why did you sin? He will ask, why did you not repent? So if we are perfect in asking or looking at others like undesirable people, that should not be the case, and that is very wrong. Remember, the blind and lame came into the house. Children were also praising the Lord, and they were imitating the praise they had heard when the Lord Jesus entered victorious into Jerusalem. When He entered victoriously into your heart, if you feel that He is in your church, that He is God, and He is the King of the church, your heart, your house, your family, and everybody else. More than that, I can add that you could also ask God to be the friend, the first friend that you can trust and you can speak to any time and at all times. Please don't forget that the Lord Jesus was also the great friend of the blind, lame, and children. And before He enters Jerusalem, you remember that in the book of Matthew, we read about two blind men that were healed by God. And when the disciples wanted to keep the children away, the Lord Jesus told them in Matthew 19:14, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. So when you think about this, remember that we also could be called blind and lame and children because of our sin. The church is not for the good and the rich people. The church is for the good and rich, of course, but also for the poor, for the sick, for the blind, and for the lame. In the book of Matthew in chapter 9, God said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. All what God is asking for, that you try. You cannot judge your brother and sister for everything they do. Give them the chance to express their work and their love as long as they are trying in a godly way, not against God, not against the church. The third question is, if Jesus is Lord, you must demonstrate His power inside and outside His house. It wasn't just that the blind and lame came into the temple, they were healed. Healing comes only through the power of God. The chief priests, for example, and the scribes, they stood there and they saw all what was happening. They witnessed the power of God. And they know that the Lord Jesus is Lord and He is God, because no one can do all of this. But still, they did not believe. They closed their heart and their mind, as many of us. No matter how many sermons we hear, no matter how much prayer we pray, it is as if something that comes out of your lips, not from your heart. There's a lot of people, they say they would believe if they saw a miracle, but that is not true. The ones who believed were those on whom the Lord Jesus demonstrated His power. He touched their heart, and by their heart they knew that He is Lord. The Lord demonstrated His power in our lives in one important thing that everybody ignores. What is it? He changed your life. He make you a different person. He make you His son and daughter. He make you a royal family. We always forget or ignore that or take it for granted. And we try to imitate people outside in how they dress, we dress like them. How they eat, we eat like them. How they drink, we drink like them. That should not be it. You are a royal family. I said it from day one, and I will keep saying it to the last minute until I die. I remember when my parents were teaching me this. If you feel that your legs are good enough to let you go to church, go to church. If your mouth can praise God, praise God. If your eyes can see, look at God and all His people and look at the icons. If your ears are working, hear the word of God. If your nose is working, now inhale the air that God gave it to everybody free, that makes you live. Without this air, you will never live. This is a gift from God, that you breathe naturally without knowing that you are breathing. Look at all what God has given you, as long as they are working. Do not say, let me rest now. We will rest one day forever. Don't rush to rest. Come, enjoy the blessing that God has given you. Because when you come, you are demonstrating the power that God has given you. You are showing that you are praising God, you are loving Him, you are telling Him, thank you God for making me what I am. Don't let anyone to put you down, because you are God's child. You are very precious, and He showed how precious you are when He gave up His life for you, and He shed His blood on the cross for you. The fourth and the last question is, if Jesus is Lord, do you want His house to be the house of praise? Once the merchants, for example, were cast out of the way, the children were free to shout praises to the Lord Jesus. Having witnessed the miracles, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the high priest and all the priests, should have joined the children in praising the Lord Jesus. The Lord responded to the indignation of the religious leaders by saying that infants and babes were shouting praises. How about you? He even told them in another occasion in the book of Luke in chapter 19, verse 40, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. If they are silent, as you hear in the Tasbihah every Saturday night, we talk about nature, about the trees, even animals and wild animals and cattle and birds and stones and mountains. They all of them praise God. How about you? Aren't you supposed to give credit to whom credit is due? Aren't you supposed to give credit to God and praise Him because He is Lord? Do you believe Him and trust Him? And the very least that you can show your praise and your love to Him, that you come to church, to Tasbihah, to the time when we all sing and praise in the church with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your voice. It is not internal thing only. You must shout to the Lord, as the psalm says. We must praise God with such a big loud voice, enjoying it. You see and you hear all of us when we sing, we say it gently and softly, and we try to go in a slow tune so we can really enjoy it and feel it. You must feel it. You must know and you must praise God and ask yourself the question, am I here to praise Him in a way of thank you God, or I am here for something for myself? if God is God and you feel that He is Lord, you must praise Him. This is a must. This is a commandment that God has given us. Remember, after communion, every liturgy, we have Psalm 150 where we say, praise the Lord in all His saints. And we keep a whole list of how much we praise God. And you must trust Him, believing Him. Know whatever He says will be the best for you. And know that when you speak, God will hear you. In the book of Numbers today, in chapter 10, we hear about the story of Moses that we read in the prophecies this morning. God told Moses and Aaron to speak to the rock. And when you speak to it, the water will come out and will quench everybody's thirst. Moses was tired and gave up. And instead of talking to the rock, he hit the rock twice. Remember what happened. God punished him. The two of them did not enter the promised land, which proves that our God is God and what He says will be done. They did not enter the promised land. Why? Because God wants to teach us, when you pray, trust that God is listening. Just speak. Just talk. Get it out of your chest and speak and trust Him that He is listening. Let me conclude with this story. It talks about a bishop who was a good bishop and he was serving God. And one day, all of a sudden, an angel appeared to him and told him, your hour is up. This is the time that I must take your soul up to heaven. Then he said, you know, I am really sorry. I am a bishop and I serve all the time, but I never thought about this hour will come. I know it will come, but not like taking my mind. And I have so much for the diocese that I did not tell anybody about it. I did not tell them about the deeds and the properties, the money in the banks and any financial things. So can I ask you a favor? Just give me 1 week, just 1 week, and I'm ready to go. So give me the chance to give my secretary and all the priests of the diocese all things. Then the angel disappeared for a few moments and came back and said, God granted you your wish. Then the bishop started working really hard and he was giving God all what he can. And he made meetings for the clergy and he talked to his priest, the secretary, and here are the money, here are the deeds, give everybody this and that, and kept the first 2 days very busy and did a great job. On the third day, he started to feel tired. And he said, maybe I should slow down. I will not be having the chance to really do it. On the fourth day, he started to ask himself the question, maybe that was not an angel. Maybe I was dreaming and I thinking that it was an angel. On the fifth day, he starts saying, maybe that was not an angel, that was Satan. And he started to lose faith, trusting the word that God sent to his angel. And then, all of a sudden, on the sixth day, he found himself doubting the Lord Jesus. Maybe Jesus was not Lord. Maybe you are not praying to the right God. Or maybe he was not God, he was a prophet. And he started to have so much of doubts. And then he woke up to himself and started to scream and yell and cried out so much, telling God, I am really sorry. I should have listened to you first time. Please, God, forgive me. And from so much tears and crying, then the angel appeared to him again and told him, never ever doubt the word of God. When he tells you your time is up, be happy and rejoice when I tell you you are going to heaven with him. Then he said, I am really sorry. I used my human instincts and I thought I can do something for the diocese. I did not trust that as you made me a bishop, you can make somebody else who will take care of it. It is my fault. The angel told him, would you like to wait until tomorrow, your seventh day? You asked for 1 week. He said, no, please take me now. It is my sin that I did not trust, and please accept my confession and forgive me and let me go to God. It's much better to be with him than being by myself. And of course, his secretary, when he heard him screaming, he was standing outside and he saw all of this, that he recorded this whole story. So to summarize the four questions for us tonight, that makes now a total of 8, 4 from yesterday and 4 today. God's house is to be a house of prayer. What are you doing to make it a house of prayer? Number 2, God's house is to be full of people from all backgrounds. What are you doing to invite and welcome people to his house and treat everyone, the lame, the blind, the poor, to be your brothers and sisters? God's house is to have power. What are you doing to make sure lives are changed through his house? Finally, God's house is a house of praise. What are you doing to ensure that praise is giving to the one who deserves the praise? And glory be to God now and forever. Amen.